Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and this week we're going to go back to the series on success in air traffic control is a choice. And we've been following along in John Maxwell's book, Success is a Choice, and seeing how that relates to our work as air traffic controllers, and even more specifically to your work as a student trying to become an air traffic controller. And so this week, as we continue on, we'll try and get through two chapters instead of just one. And the first one is called Value Preparation. And that is something that's going to go right in with your time at the academy, your time at a CTI school, your time at Advanced ATC or ATCFO, I think is the name of that company in Florida. So, diving right in. So, valuing preparation. Being unprepared, let's start here. Being unprepared puts you out of position. And what that means for us is if you're not prepared, if you are not aware of what is required, okay, so that involves phraseology, that involves different tasks that you have to learn how to do, strip marking, you know, all those things. That is all preparation. It's all preparation for what you need to do on your eval days. And so if you're not prepared ahead of time, you're not going to be able to do what's required of you. It sounds so simple, and yet it's so profound. You have to be prepared. And preparation positions you correctly. And it is often the separation between winning and losing. And I would say at the academy, it is always one of the things that's going to separate those that pass from those that fail is preparation. And so we have to ask, why do people fail to prepare? Why do people resist it? And a couple of things that John Maxwell says from the book is talent wants to jump into action, but preparation positions that talent to be effective. And what that means is, in my mind anyway, is your talent, what you already know, wants to jump in to the situation and wants to resolve it and wants to fix it, wants to do what it knows it needs to do. The only problem is sometimes we jump in without fully knowing what we're doing. I mean, I've done that many times in my life. Unfortunately, I probably continue to do it. But being prepared allows that talent to go further. So being prepared allows the talent that you have as a student to accomplish more. And so why do people fail to prepare? One reason is they fail to see the value of preparation before action. And a couple of comments from the book that I think are great is talent may be a given, but success you must earn. It's just amazing to me that people don't want to prepare. When you look around and you look at the most successful people, look at the most successful controllers, and they are prepared for work. They're prepared to do what they need to do. And that was one thing when I got to the center you know, when I first stepped into the building, everybody seemed larger than life. I'd look at what they were doing in the control room, and I'm just like, oh, wow, these people are amazing. And there were times when I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. But then I actually started going through the training, and I realized, you know, some of those people are not that great. You know, I can do this, and a lot of times I can do it better than they can, you know, already. And so that, you know, you get your initial response is, I can't do it. And then you go through the steps, you go through the training, you go through what needs to be done to prepare you to get to that point. And all of a sudden, you start to realize, oh, wait, I can get there. And for you guys at the academy, what you're going to see is you're going to see classes that are at the other end of the spectrum. They're at the end, whereas you are at the beginning. And what you have to realize is, number one, there was a time when they were at the beginning. They didn't just walk in and were at the end. You know, they had to go through everything that you're going through. That's one thing that everyone at the academy needs to remember, is these people, no matter how good they are at the end, they didn't just walk into the building that way. They walked into the building the same as you. And then they went through the stages and they became prepared to be where they are. Okay? So another reason why people don't want to prepare is they fail to appreciate the value of discipline. And then it's been said that discipline is doing what you really don't want to do so that you can do what you really do want to do at a later time. Okay? And then I'm sure some of you will be able to relate to this. A frustrating thing about preparation is that it usually takes much more time than the actual event it prepares for. And you're going to find that out there at the academy. The academy is 12 weeks long, 3 months, and it really boils down to 80% of your total score is going to be on 3 days in 5 runs or 5 scenarios, 2 non-radar, 3 radar. 12 weeks of preparation for what amounts to just over 3 hours of work in those 5 scenarios. Yep. Preparation takes time. The event you prepare for usually doesn't. And it's going to be that way in life. Sorry, it just is. So, some principles about preparation. So, number one, preparation allows you to tap into your talent. Being prepared, knowing the phraseology, knowing the strip marking, knowing the procedures, knowing the LOAs, knowing the SOP. These are all preparation steps that allow the talent that is inside you to come out when it needs to come out. But that talent, whatever talent you have, if you don't know how to say it correctly, if you don't know how to write it on a strip correctly, if you don't know what the LOA requires of you, if you don't know what the SOP requires of you, then you can be the most talented person in the room and you're going to fail. Because there are specific ways that things have to be done. And if you prepare for that, then that talent that you have can shine and can come out and can be recognized by your instructors, by the evaluators, by the FAA. Okay, so preparation allows you to tap into that talent. Number two, preparation is a process, not an event. And at the academy, it's a 12-week process. If you're at a CTI school, it could be anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years or more process. And a couple of comments from the book is leadership develops daily, not in a day. And preparation that you have to do there at the academy is something you have to do daily. I mean, daily. And some days you're going to take a break from actually practicing scenarios and stuff like that. It's a good time to read over the LOAs or read over the SOP. Or as one of my students did, he made a voice note out of the SOP so that he could listen to it while he was reading it. And so he kind of got it with two of his senses instead of just one. Great idea. Great idea. And then this is huge. Don't try to be better than somebody else, but never cease trying to be the best that you can be. And that statement comes from the great basketball coach, John Wooden. Don't compare yourself to someone else, but never cease comparing yourself with who you were yesterday, and always try to get better. And if you do that, you will succeed no matter what you're trying to do, whether it's air traffic control or any other phase of your life, you will succeed. And then number three is preparation precedes opportunity. And I'm not sure I said that right. Precedes opportunity. And if you want to take advantage of opportunities to use your talent, you must be prepared for when those opportunities present themselves. And so here you are at the academy, and you have this opportunity before you. An incredible opportunity to start what I think is the most amazing career you could possibly think of. Okay? But if you're not prepared ahead of time, it would be better. That's why I keep stressing, be prepared before you get to Oklahoma City. Okay, prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, physically. Prepare those things that are outside of air traffic so that you don't have to worry about them as much. Okay, preparation is key. And if you prepare ahead of time, then when that opportunity happens, when you get to Oklahoma City, your talent will be able to come through. And your giftedness will be able to come through. Okay. Number four, preparation for tomorrow begins with the right use of today. And at the academy, I've seen students, and I see it on the Discord chat, I see it, oh, all sorts of places. Students are not even through basics, and they're already asking questions about the radar scenarios, which are a month away, easy, month and a half, almost 2 months away. They're worried about tomorrow when they really need to be focused on today. And focused on the now, focused on what they need to do right this moment. And at the academy, it's amazingly important. You can look at tomorrow. You can even look at the next day. And I would say take each week as a week and prepare and see what's coming that week and try to prepare ahead of time for that week, whatever that is, whether it's a classroom, whether it's non-radar scenarios, whether it's radar scenarios. Have an idea of what is coming for that week, but don't bite off more than a week at a time. And then within that week, concentrate on each day. Get what you need to learn from each day so that the next day you're not trying to learn what you should have yesterday. Okay? And that also keeps you from focusing on what's going to happen next week. Take it a week at a time. Plan out your week before the week starts. Look at what's coming up. Look at the lessons that are coming up. Do what you can to prepare. And maybe even if you're in the classroom, even scan and skim over what's coming up. But don't do more than that. And then each day, learn what you were supposed to learn that day. And that will set you up for being prepared for each day. Okay? So number five, preparation requires maintaining a good perspective. Wow. It does. You know, we talked about how preparation usually takes longer than the event that you're preparing for. Well, sometimes that can become a drag. That can really get you down. You can really go, oh, I wish I was just at the end of this. And you have to maintain a good mental attitude towards it. The academy is a mental grind. I mean, it is designed to just wear you down. And there again, it comes, how you defeat that is it comes from preparing before you get there, knowing what's coming and being prepared for it, having a plan, not just allowing the FAA to plan it out for you, having your plan for you, specific to you, okay? Number six, good preparation leads to action. Well, there you go. If you prepare ahead of time, if you are prepared when the opportunity comes up, then you will be able to make the most of that opportunity. And that's really all we can ever do, is try to make the most of every opportunity we're given. And I love this quote, or this from John's book. Preparation does not mean mastery of the facts. It does not mean knowing all the answers. And it does not necessarily mean achieving a consensus. It does mean putting yourself in a better position to succeed. Okay? So, you don't need all the answers, but you need to be prepared. One thing to remember is sometimes this process is long, sometimes it's slow. For some people, it's slower than others. Okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean that the person who is maybe, there again, you're not supposed to be comparing yourself, but maybe one of your classmates is doing better than you are, is understanding things a little bit quicker than you do. Well, it doesn't really mean anything. You can both have exceptional careers as air traffic controllers. And you may even end up at a higher facility than they are, or working more traffic than they will. That doesn't mean anything. It just means that you have to take more time to get there. And believe me, it's worth that time. Okay? And one thing to remember about the Academy, and I don't want you to get really down about this, is this. People don't often get a second chance to seize a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And that is what the Academy is for you. That's what the CTI school is for you. Okay, so that was value preparation. The next one is embrace practice. And I wanted to do these two together because they do really go together. So number one on embrace practice, you play at the level you practice. And this, especially in non-radar, but also in radar. In non-radar, you need to practice correctly, which means that the person who is watching you run this practice scenario has to be your worst instructor. And by worst, I mean he has to be the most detail-oriented instructor you will have. It's the only way that that practice is going to benefit you. Consistently good practice leads to consistently good play, and it sharpens your talent. And successful people, especially at the Academy, successful students at the Academy value practice. It's not just practice to be practicing. It is practice to get better. It is practice to sharpen your talent. Okay? So, the power of practice. Number one, there'll be three things. Number one, practice enables development. And done correctly, practice keeps making you better than you were yesterday. That is why your practice has to be good practice. It has to be the practice that you need it to be in order to prepare you for the evals. Okay? You can't just, you know, play through practice. I've seen students do that. I've seen students not value it. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have fun while you're practicing. Please do. Having fun makes it easier for us to learn. Okay? But the practice itself, the details, have to be there because the instructor, the evaluator, they're going to be looking at the details. And so if you don't practice those details, then you're going to be surprised on your evaluation day, and you don't want to be surprised. Okay? So number two, practice leads to discovery. And so some things that you want to know about practice. If you commit yourself to practice, a few things that you're going to learn are your performance can always be improved. Okay? It's just a fact of life. We never get perfection. Even the golfer who a couple of days ago shot a 59, okay, he missed a putt. He could have had 58. He probably didn't hit some other shots nearly as well as he wanted to. He could have shot a 57, been the first. You know, your performance can always be improved. And then there's value in starting with small things. And at the Academy, this is so true. So true. Small things. You can't get through day 60 without going through day 1 or day 2 or day 3. Okay? That's why I keep saying you have to be there each day. You have to be engaged each day. You have to be learning each day, because you cannot get to day 60 when you select your facility in the en route section without going through day 1, day 2, day 3. Okay? You have to value those small things. And then next, very small differences. Very small differences. Consistently practice. Produce results. It's not going to be huge things, you know, and at first your gains are going to be very small, but then they get bigger. And then there comes a time, if you do persevere, when the gains become small again. And then you're at that point when they become small again, when you don't need big gains, you don't need big differences, because you're at a level where very small differences make huge differences. Okay? I couldn't figure out another way to say it. And then next, a price must be paid to reach the next level. It's just what happens. And a man wrote once, one half of knowing what you want is knowing what you must give up before you get it. And so those of you who are at the academy, whichever discipline you're in, you may or may not fully understand what you're trying to accomplish. But you do understand that you may be away from your home. You may be away from your family. You may not. You may have brought them with you. But you may be away from your family for 3 months if you're en route, shorter time, I think, for the other disciplines. But that is a price that you have to pay. Okay? And so, there again, being prepared ahead of time will make it easier to pay that price. And then one thing to remember about practice, many people regard practice as an essentially negative experience. They don't like it. And I must say, I was never one to really enjoy practice. When I was growing up playing soccer, I loved playing soccer. And I would go out every day of my life and play soccer when I was growing up. But I didn't necessarily like practice. And then when it got into high school, I really didn't like practice. But it doesn't have to be that way. And as a coach, when I was coaching kids, I tried to make practice enjoyable. I tried to make it, you know, impact and improve them, but also try to make it enjoyable. And when I was at the academy as an instructor, I tried to do the same thing, because it is coaching. Yeah, you're called an instructor, not a coach. But it's the same basic thing. And I actually had a couple of classes start calling me coach while they were up there. And that is a strange thing. I was not expecting. But practice doesn't have to be a negative experience. And the best way to make practice exciting is to think of it in terms of discovery and development. Every practice you go through is getting you that much closer to your goal. Okay? And then the last thing about the power of practice is practice demands discipline. And Aristotle, yeah, I'm going way back into the archives now. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. He also said, excellence then is not an act, but a habit. Okay? I'll say that again. Excellence is not an act. It is a habit. And that habit is developed during practice. You, by practicing, you are developing excellence. And when you look at it that way, practice becomes just different. It takes on a different atmosphere, a different connotation. Okay? So when you're setting up your practice groups, call them excellence groups or something like that. Just give them a different name. And just look at each other and go, okay, we're getting closer to being excellent at this. Okay, and then five pillars of practice. So that was the three, last 3 points were the power of practice. Now we're going through five pillars of practice. Number one, you need an excellent teacher or coach. And people who perform at their peak practice effectively, and they practice effectively under the leadership of a great teacher. And if you look in athletics, you look in business, you look in acting, you look in really any career field that you can think of. And the best people in each field all have a coach or a mentor. It amazes me that people like Tiger Woods, people like LeBron James, people, you know, Rafael Nadal in tennis, everyone has a coach. Everyone has someone outside themselves that can look at what they're doing and pinpoint little areas that can be improved. Okay? And sometimes that coach is just there for emotional stability. You know, when something goes wrong, a coach is sometimes they're just there to make sure you don't fall. And everyone needs that. And then number two is your best effort. You have to give your best effort. And, you know, at the academy, that you have to go through those practice sessions, those excellence sessions, we'll call them, with your best effort. I mean, you can't just laze your way through, sleepwalk your way through, and expect to get better. You have to give your best effort. You do that, and you will improve. I guarantee it. I've seen it hundreds, if not thousands of times over the 5 years that I was at the academy. Okay? I've seen thousands of students come through. And if you give your best effort, you will improve. I guarantee it. You have to have a clear purpose and to your practice. The overarching purpose of practice is always improvement leading to excellence. And then as you practice, make excellence your target and then give your best effort to achieve it. So go into each of those practice sessions looking for excellence and doing everything you can to achieve it. You do that, and the sky is the limit. I mean, really, the sky is the limit. And then number four, the greatest potential. If you don't tap into your talent, it's going to waste away. And then one thing that I love from this section of the book, your standards for yourself should be higher than other people's standards for you. And so at the academy, you know because of the SOP and what you're hearing from other students in other classes, you know what the standard that the FAA is going to have, what the standard that the evaluators are going to have. Well, don't settle for that. Make your standards higher than that. Expect more from yourself. Because if you do that, then I guarantee you that people are going to notice. And by people, I mean the FAA, the evaluators, your instructors. They will notice. Okay? And that is not a bad thing at all. And then number five, the fifth pillar of practice is have the right resources. You know, in non-radar for the en route, you have to have a strip board. You have to have a way to move the strips. You have to have a way to practice that. For tower, you know, come up with your own tabletop. Hey, the FAA has a tabletop. I'm sure you have a dining room table in your apartment or duplex. Use it. Make it a tabletop practice. Okay? You have to have the right equipment and tools in order to make your practice the best it can be. And then now we're going to go into the extra that makes people successful. So we've talked about the power of practice. We talked about the five pillars of practice. Now we're going to talk about what is that extra that makes people successful. And number one, a little extra effort. And I love this. The difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary is the extra. Think about that. Simple and yet profound. The difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary is the extra. Don't let anyone at the academy, in your class or any other class, outwork you, outstrive you. Give the extra that will make you extraordinary. Do that, and there again, the sky's the limit. A little extra effort always gives the person an edge. And one person said, you beat 50% of the people in America by working hard. You beat 40% by being a person of honesty and integrity and standing for something. And the last 10% is a dogfight. If you want to win the dogfight, then do a little extra. So, a little extra effort. Number two, it's a little extra time. Successful people practice harder and practice longer than unsuccessful people do. Giving a little extra time requires more than just perseverance. It requires patience. It's one thing that I've seen at the academy so much is you're trying, you're putting in the time, you're putting in the extra time, and things are just not clicking. Keep persevering. You never know when that light will suddenly go on. And when it does, I tell you, when it does, it is an extraordinary thing. It is a beautiful thing. And as an instructor, one of the most amazing things to watch is when a student or a player, when I was coaching soccer, when that light goes on and you see them just make this huge leap from what they were doing yesterday to what they're doing today. Oh, it is amazing. And you see their countenance change. You see this huge smile come over their face. And really, this whole huge smile come over their entire body as they realize what just happened. Okay? But it takes persevering. It takes patience. Okay? Number three, it takes a little extra help. And there was a comment by the author of Roots, of the book Roots, Alex Haley. If you see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he had help getting there. And everyone needs a little help. I asked the person I worked with yesterday, if you see something that I'm doing with the traffic and you don't understand, say something. You know, because I've been doing this for 35 years and I learned something yesterday. Now, that situation may not present itself for another year, but it might present itself tomorrow. But now I have a better idea of something that I can use, a tool that I can use, a way that I can move the traffic. And so I get help, and I asked him. I said, hey, if you ever see anything, please let me know. Okay? And unfortunately, as controllers especially, we get to a point where we feel like we should know everything, and sometimes we act like we do know everything, and then the people around us are hesitant to help us. Get help. As a class, help each other, because you all have different strengths, you all have different weaknesses. Help each other. Learn from each other. Okay? And then number four, a little extra change. Most people are resistant to change. They desire improvement, but they resist changing their everyday routine. And to sharpen your talent through practice, which is what we're trying to do, you need to do more than just be open to change. You need to pursue change. And you need to do it a little bit more than others, so that you can get ahead. Okay? It's still amazing to me to think back on students who thought they had it and thought they knew everything. And so they stopped practicing. They stopped feeling the need to improve. And then sometimes in that same class, you had another person who thought they knew everything, and yet they weren't content with that. They wanted to learn more. And the difference between those two young people is the difference between passing and failing. It really, truly is. No matter how good you think you are. And I saw a post on Discord. Someone in the non-radar evals averaged 70s. 70s are amazing in non-radar. But they were looking at someone in their class who averaged in the 90s. Well, we go back to don't compare yourself. Compare yourself to you. Because you're the one that's trying to get 70. Okay? Don't compare yourself to someone else. They may get 70. They may not. They may think, well, I got 90s in non-radar. I don't need to practice in radar. Oops. I've seen it happen. I have seen it happen. 70s in non-radar. Oh, that's fantastic. I would take that. I would take the average and run out the door before they could change it. Period. But let's end this. Couple of things to remember. You never arrive at your potential. You can only continue to strive toward it. And that means continually practicing. And then William Johnson said, quality is a race with no finish line. And at the Academy, that is so true. Quality is a race. Excellence is a race with no finish line. I hope that as you finish your radar evals and you look at your score and you realize, wait a minute, I just went through the Academy and I had a 94 average. I hope that you take a moment to celebrate that and also take a moment to go, man, I could have been better. I know I could have. But take a moment to celebrate it. But realize that excellence is a race with no finish line. And if you don't strive for excellence, then you are soon settling for acceptable. And then the next step after acceptable is mediocrity. And believe me, no one is going to pay for mediocrity. If you want to reach your potential and be more successful, you have to keep practicing and keep practicing with excellence. And so I will end on that. I know it's gone a little bit long, but I wanted to do those two together. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for hanging in there. I'll have links to the website for the coaching program and links to the man that does the music has just put out a new album, so I'll link to his website. I actually haven't had a chance to listen to much of the new album yet. I can't wait to listen to it and get to hear it. He always does some amazing stuff. But for those of you at the Academy, as I say every week, hang in there. Keep striving for excellence. Don't settle for anything less. And you'll be good. You'll be okay. And you will succeed. CTI school, same thing. Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for average. Be exceptional. And be exceptional every day. And if you do that, you will have not just a great career as an air traffic controller, but you'll have a great life. And you will have an excellent life. And so until next week, you guys have a great week. And we will talk again. Thank you and bye.